Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Club Racing UK podcast. We're going to be a little bit more formal today. We've got a lot to talk about and it's a little bit of the elephant in the room. It's the coronavirus, how it's affecting club racing. We're going to talk about all the issues around that. And we've got a special guest on with us today, Mr. Callum McDougall, the HRX UK sales manager, who's done quite a lot to help club racers like ourselves get the right team wear and generally looking good while they're out racing. So I'm Robert Lewis. We're here with Callum McDougall, as I said, Nick Holmes and Stefan Marsh of Club Racing UK. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello,
boys and girls.
Yeah.
How are we all doing?
So we're all doing good. I think we're doing good. I'm still working. You're bored, aren't you?
I'm home and I'm safe. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. You all good, Stefan?
I am. I'm still working. And luckily, Nick's not at work, so even better.
Fantastic. How are you keeping, Callum? Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely fine. Thank you.
Fantastic. We have got a packed show today, and I want to start off. I was absolutely taken back by the response to the first ever podcast. Lots of people getting in contact with us saying how great it was, giving us some things to talk about. We're going to run through the comments in a second. I start off by sharing, we heard some news earlier this week. Sadly, Pete Stevens, a club racing legend, lost his fight against COVID-19. 3 times national hot rod champion, 3 times European hot rod champion, English and British hot rod champion, 4 times Thunder Saloon champion in that absolutely mesmerizing Vauxhall Carlton V8 Thunder Saloon. He won the former Saloons Championship on its first year in 1996, and he was pretty handy in a pickup winning the 2009 Championship. Gutted chaps when I heard about this. I have seen his Carlton out racing a few times. It was an absolute monster.
Yeah, like I say, that was the first time I ever saw or knew of Pete Stevens is that, like you say, that iconic Carlton. Obviously, I'm a Vauxhall fan. There's no hiding that. And yeah, that car was an amazing bit of kit. So yeah, I was gutted to hear the news.
Obviously, not just club racing. He was an absolute legend in the hot rod world as well. All those championships racked up in the late 70s, early 80s. Club Racing UK wish to extend his sympathies to his family and his friends at this time.
Absolutely.
Right. So to introduce and sort of look over from episode 1, we had a lot of comments. We couldn't look at them at the time. We're trying to look at them today in our in our chat. Chris White mentioned the C1 Championship. We talked a lot about the KA, so this is kind of where the endurance racing started. We do know about the C1 Championship. We will be covering it more at length as it carries on. It's quite a popular series, it seems, gents.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's where Enduro KA stemmed from, wasn't it? It was MSV's answer to it. So, yeah, there's no denying it was the birthplace of cheap endurance racing. Wow. modern day cheap endurance racing. So, yeah, and the KAs are just MSV's answers. So,
yeah. Stratton Mackay mentioned the glory days in what was the Quaife Motorsport News Saloon Car Championship. I saw that quite a few times. Quite a few mentionable names in that, Darren Bly, Dale Gent, Bill Richards, Rob Burley and alike. And I suppose Stratton Mackay, he'll like us giving him a mention.
Nowadays,
I did see the picture he put up the other day. It did look rather messy. Secondhand.
A little bit.
I did.
Looked a bit bent.
Ian Fowler commented saying whether he should swipe right. That's Tinder, mate. Not the podcast. That's Tinder, just to let you know. Paul Laurie agreed about... Well,
I'm a married man. Grindr. I don't know those things.
Or Grindr, whatever takes your fancy. But anyway. So, Paul Laurie agreed with us about the Hyundai Coupe Cup.
Yep.
Adam Chamberlain agreed about the Bark Saloons, which is good. It's a good series, I believe, just going to get even better and better. And Tracy Walters, we move on to. She left a lot of comments on our post last weekend. She was following us all the way through, which is really, really nice.
Hi, Tracy.
She she did mention about one of the BRSCC championships that's sadly no more, the OSS championship. I'd seen it a few times when I was there with the Toyota Tires Porsche championship. It's normally quite a good series, pack grids, mostly radicals. For some reason, they've just struggled in the past few years and folded as a result. And Chris Pratt of All Square Rap and Ride made quite a good point about sim races turning into club races. And we're going to cover that later on. We are going to have a section later on in the podcast about sim races, so keep an eye out for that.
Yes.
And we're going to move on to our main talking point today, gents. This is going to affect all four of us. It's something all four of us could talk about in depth, and it's the elephant in the room called COVID-19.
Never heard of it.
He needs to get out of his van more.
There's a big world outside that van.
You are?
There's a big world outside of your van.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's big and scary, and I don't want to go out there.
Well, it has to be the main talking point because, of course, it affects us as club racers. It will affect Callum as someone who's running quite a successful business and also a club racer. Also tied in with the major championships like the British Touring Car Championships, Formula One.
Yeah,
anything from any area of motorsport. To kind of start, gents, obviously the crisis hit. Everyone went into lockdown. I know MSV furloughed about 807 staff members. Bark did the same. Obviously, all the clubs have got to cut costs and they've got to do it quick. It's the kind of thing that can take out a few businesses quite quickly. And unfortunately, it's already happened in the wider world, looking at the likes of Debenhams that were already struggling.
Yeah.
The good thing about the furloughing bit, it doesn't mean redundancy. They'll be coming back to the racetracks. And Motorsport UK then announced a couple of weeks ago they've got a £1 million scheme to help struggling clubs as a result of COVID-19. Looking a little bit into it, I believe it's grants up to £10,000 that clubs can apply for to help them get along with whatever they need to survive. So.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And I want to have a bit of a debate as well. Club racing in the pecking order when the racing resumes.
This is going to be a hot topic tonight.
I know a lot of people are going to be talking about this.
Yeah.
So. Formula One announced that the British Grand Prix will potentially go ahead. Quite simple.
Yeah.
But the problem is, A, it's going to be behind closed doors. And it's also... it's going to go on behind closed doors. That's the sort of spacing part of it, the social distances side of it all taken care of. The British touring cars...
Just rewind a little bit there. You say okay. That. I think I've heard... It's a bit obvious. Most Formula One teams have about 200 to 300 staff per team at a weekend. So even behind closed doors, how are they going to social distance a team?
Yep. Marshals.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You need, yeah. So as much
as it's not going to be an easy solution.
No, as much as I want to see motorsport back on the tracks, I think even the whole behind closed doors thing really needs to be. Yeah, there's obviously much further planning going on behind.
There is. So obviously Formula One announced their calendar. Mm-hmm. The British Touring Cars then followed suit. Alan Gow released the calendar there. It was packed. I think the first four rounds were literally weekend after weekend after weekend in August.
Yeah.
So they released their calendar. Fantastic. And the one thing that was noticed straight away is they've nicked a couple of club racing weekends, which is going to happen.
Mm. Yeah. I think, I don't know, as much as you got to think of, yay, club racing, we need to go racing, it was going to happen. And I think, if I'm completely honest, anyone who didn't think it was going to happen, I don't know. I just need to have a real rethink. We are, unfortunately, the bottom of the pecking order. We are.
Obviously, it comes down to money, doesn't it?
It does.
Money talks in this sport.
And I'm sure the big players have got obligations financially. know, sponsors to please and shareholders and all the rest of it. So, you know, they've got to deal with that before they, you know, we're just paying people to use the track. So they've got all to sort out first. And then obviously they're not going to forget about us. We're still money. So they're going to get all the big boys sorted and in their place. And as soon as they've done that, they're going to be wanting every single club racing event they can to try and squeeze as much money as they can out the rest of the year. So it's not like they're forgetting about us. They just have to do other things first.
I think that's very true. I think for that reason, as club races, will probably end up being more versatile and able to fill the gaps that the other series can't. And I think in reality, to circuits, people like Jonathan Palmer, who spoke to Autosport over the weekend, that actually we're the ones who are probably going to be bringing the funds in to circuits like his, because, you know, most of these big series like Formula One and, you know, the touring cars, the Toka package, the usual system is that the circuit, be it Silverstone or Brands Hatch, would have to pay Toka for the whole event, for the circus to roll into town, and the circuit would recoup those funds from ticket sales. Now, if we're going to be in a position where everything's running behind closed doors, the circuits can't actually reclaim that money or make any kind of profit. So there are going to be all new deals done over the second half of this year for championships like Formula One and touring cars, who are going to have to renegotiate with circuits to make sure that these races go ahead, probably for a non-profit basis across the board.
Yeah, that's very good. Totally Martin Cully has raised a question, gents. Will racing behind closed doors stop some club races because of economics and possible sponsorship? I think it will be. I mean, certainly myself, I mean, the overtime stopped for me. So at times like this, if you've been furloughed and you're on 80% of your wages, the mortgage comes first before you go racing. You know, bills definitely. Come first.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
It's a leisure activity in the day for us, isn't it? You know,
for a majority of but the flip side of it as well, there's a lot of business that's generated from club racing, because you have companies that supply parts, from tuition to sponsorship, people that work actively in motorsport that go from the grassroots up to the likes of the British touring cars and the high level of national motorsport. Unfortunately, it's going to be a lot of give and take.
It's things as well, like arrive and drives, you know, car builders. No one's racing, no one's building cars, no one's renting cars. It's huge. This has been massive. So bad.
And the thing is, what Martin Cully also very, very true as well. He puts a question, how do marshals help a driver in trouble if you're social distancing? You know, that comes into it as well.
I think it's going to come in. There's a lot of it going to be in the new world we get released into after all this. That, you know, when you're within that 2 meters, and it's all going to be down to PPE and your own risk. You know, you're going to have to wear a face mask, a face shield, or gloves whatsoever. As soon as you've left contact with someone, wash your hands, take all the kit off, and start again. But that's the world we're going to have to move into. Everyone's going to have to kind of relearn everything they know and retrain, and, you know, we have to make the world go on. We can't just stop.
No, we're going to have to adapt. There's just some new things from our side of things, as well as you say, marshals, organisers, you know, driver briefings. You're usually in a packed room of 100 plus drivers from a weekend, you know, down to that. We're going to have to adapt. It's as simple as that.
No, carry on, Callum.
So the FIA actually released a statement to most international teams over the past week, stating quite simply that when we do all return to motor racing, that the vast majority of teams everywhere, from what I understand, will be required to wear face masks, every member of the team. It's going to become a staple part of international.
I'm growing mine now. I get my bandana on and just hold it over my face.
You saw it coming. We touched on Mr. Palmer earlier on, the head honcho of MSV, ex-Grand Prix driver, commentator. We saw an article in Autosport that came out today. He's basically came out and said, look, it's going to take at least 2 or 3 years to recover from this.
Yeah.
The onus is on all circuits to keep customers that they've already got and not necessarily go out and attract new people, which is quite sensible there because he knows. I mean, he's business savvy. Look at what he's done to the circuits he owns. He's done a hell of a lot of work and got the grid, you know, he's got the grids in, he's branched out with MSVR, the circuits, the infrastructure at the circuits he has themselves are fantastic. So he's got a good business brain with it. And he's basically said, look, it's what it is now. It's about rebuilding.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, you know, if you could attract new, it's fantastic, but you've got to keep the guys that were there before. And the main part of that is you've got to keep the cost down. They were ramping up beforehand.
Yeah, so the one I like out of all of that, like he's obviously got a list of statements here, but it's mainly, as you say, what was it? I think largely that we've got to be focused on retaining what we have, getting people coming back and particularly driving costs out. It's that getting people to come back. I think we've all got to get behind any form of racing that goes on in the UK after this. I think all of us need to get behind it. Even if it's not us racing, I believe, you know, if BTCC rolls in, if we can get there, support it, big it up. We need to, you know, we're all motorsport fans.
The only problem would be if it's behind closed doors getting there, but even watching it on TV, if the viewer figures are up.
If the TV, if you're watching it, I think we've got, cause I did see something probably last week about when the BTCC calendar first came out, and I did see a few negative comments like, oh, that's us. Well, let's just boycott it. And that has got to be squashed quickly. Regardless of what racing is happening, we have to get behind it. It's just, we need to, we need to unite for motorsport. But
yeah, certainly. I mean, there will, I believe if we carry on in the current trajectory and the death rates come down, and you're seeing in Italy now, they're starting to ease off the sanctions. They're not going to be completely gone. We're not just going to flick a switch. It's all going to be gone. I think there is going to be some form of club motorsport this year.
We'll see. We'll see.
Definitely. I think track days would be the earliest one. I think when you start seeing track days, then other racing won't be too far behind.
Yeah. Well, Nürburgring reopened, didn't it, the other day?
Yeah, it did, and they had a lot of restrictions in place there, which is good. Yeah. So it's the start of a long process.
Definitely. It's going to be trial and error as well, isn't it? It's just going to be...
Yeah, you know, and Nick Horn has just said that as well. Track days are a good earner for circuits. So, any sort of track activity is going to stimulate the business.
And in all honesty, that's a relatively low footfall, I would say.
Everyone's kind of in their own little bubble, their own car, their own thing. And
It's easy to social distance in those environments.
Yeah, that's it. 60 to 100 cars on a rough track day. Other than the briefing, most of the time you're by yourself.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, unless you're side by side with Nick, you're going to end up going into a tyre wall with him at some point. So there is a bit of an issue there.
No bashing tonight. We did enough bashing in the last episode.
Rob started Stefan, it.
Yes. Yeah, I started Bob. It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll come and finish it as well.
all peace, love and war.
Yes.
I mean, the circuits will always prefer what draws the most revenue for them, like any business.
Definitely. They've got all the big stuff, TV rights and stuff and all that. They've got to get all that out of the way as soon as possible. Yeah.
I mean, as for support categories as well, then you may lose a couple of people that, for whatever reason, sponsorship deals fall away, understandably, because of the current climate. You know, the economy has shrunk. You can't do much about that.
No.
You just need to rebuild and move on with it. And I know, Callum, you'd be in the situation with helping with HRX. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult time, and you know, I mean, for our industry particularly, it's motorsport generally, it couldn't have hit at a worse time. You know, circuits all have to, you know, have to survive for 6 months a year while there's pretty much no racing happening. And we've come back towards the busy period for circuits and for us as raceway manufacturers. And, you know, we've been shut down right at the start of peak season. So it's going to be a long, hard grind to get back to where we were. And as you say, I think we do have to come together and help each other, be it clubs, but also on a personal level. You know, if a lot of people are going to have lost sponsorship, a lot of people are going to have a lot less funding available to them to get back into club racing and even national motorsport. You know, we all need to try and help each other out and keep grids full of cars as best we can.
Exactly. I mean, the other major part of any motorsport that goes on in the UK, the thing that has to be in place before any of that happens is the medical cover. Yeah. And, you know, that's also a major reason, as well as the virus itself. It was the fact that the medical needs for motorsport were needed for the NHS. So nothing's going to happen. You can put the calendars out there, but if the medical side isn't ready or there's still a shortfall, it's not going to happen.
There's a lot of logistics that needs to be put in place. It's just...
There is.
As you say, we're all crying. We want to go racing, but there's.
Unfortunately, when you look at the TV and there's 900 reasons one day and 800 and something the other, it puts it into perspective. Because at the end of the day, Steph?
I think that's why everyone has to be so grateful for the volunteers of medical staff and everything like that. The same with marshals. And this is the time now where all the club racers have to step up in joining the marshals and things like that. If people are going to be, you know, we know, not being rude, but the marshals are sometimes in that higher bracket of a high risk, you know, so because they love it. They've always done it. They always want to be part of it. But the younger generation also needs to start joining in.
I think we've said it, we've echoed it before, haven't we? I believe all club racers should go and do a marshal day. And realistically,
agree.
Now, if Motorsport UK are ever to implement anything right now, I think everybody, it should be compulsory. And I mean, if I have to go and be a marshal for a day just so some guys can go racing, I'm down for it. I'm totally up for that.
Yeah, it's I completely agree.
It's good. It's going to be worth volunteering for that and doing the marshal training day. We 100%. Spoke to Dawn Boyd. We spoke to Dawn Boyd at Autosport. I did a little interview with her, and she's done a lot to raise awareness. And we're going to be working further with her as an ambassador to promote 100%. That. So, which is good.
Yeah.
Mario Neofitu, 2017 Pre-05 champion and a good mate of mine. Apparently, before the lockdown, some track days did the drivers' briefing while the drivers were in their cars to maintain social distancing. Again, makes sense. It's not going to be terribly difficult to do that, is it? No. You know, the car pulls up, don't crash, don't do anything silly. And if you do crash, we're going to give you a telling off. I was going to say something else then. Andrew Butcher's quite happy being in the workshop. So am I, mate. I've never got so much work done on the Focus. It's unreal.
All right. Some of our cars live 3 miles away, or the other one's 30 miles away. I can't do nothing.
I'm with you. My KA is 222 miles away from me. It hasn't even had a bath. My garage is empty.
Oh, wow.
This is just so frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay, what you need to do is call your garage Tesco and then you can go and work on it. Mario's also came up and he said, sign me up for a day's marshalling. Good man, Mario. Good man.
Definitely good.
Chris Slater asks, Callum is sat in the sim room. Are you?
No. My sim room is a very cold conservatory.
Ah, right, okay.
I've been gifted the living room. Thanks, though.
Diane Nichols asked, what about the 70-year-old club races could be missing for some time? Sadly, unless there's provisions in place for you guys to do that, and it would be a shame if you can't go racing.
100%.
It does look that way, doesn't it? I mean, the only thing they could possibly do as you enter, they take your temperature, make sure you have the PPE, and that's it. There's nothing.
I mean, to be fair... Can you effectively quarantine a track? If you know everyone coming in and coming out, it's clear. Could you, once you're through those gates, effectively be safe? I don't know if you could do that.
The only problem, you can only do that by a physical proper test. I think everyone would have to, you know, you've got to look out for yourself. You've got to do the whole 2 meter thing. You've got to wear your PPE. It's the only way you're going to kind of stop the transmitting of it whilst you're at a circuit. And no one really wants to do it, but it's going to have to be done. Mm. Especially if you're in a 70 plus. If they, you know, if you can come out of this high risk situation, you can kind of go back to doing some stuff. And that's the only way that everyone is going to be forced, and you're going to have to stick to it to make sure everyone can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Diane was referring to her husband, who's been racing for 10 years with son and daughter. Okay. Oh, awesome. No, fantastic. Hopefully many more years, Diane. We're all praying for this situation for it to end. Yeah. But at the end of the day, chaps, we're all kind of guessing at the moment. It's all very provisional with everyone's just
all guesswork.
It is. That's
the thing is, you say that the F1 and BTCC are their calendars. Everyone's like, "Oh, racing in August," but it's not. It's
all provisional.
It's all provisional. It's all if suddenly this suddenly stops tomorrow. That's only if it suddenly stops tomorrow. It may still not happen. Unfortunately, there is still a high risk that we will have to write off 2020.
It's certainly possible, but I think they did the right thing by calling a stop to their original season early, and as early as was realistically possible, coming up with a new calendar that theoretically could take place if the government allows us to.
If they'd let it go like 4 more days, I would have had my first race of the season. So
you now own Kev a lot of money, I expect.
Yeah, but several parts of.
I was going to say that. What he doesn't tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is he would have had his first accident of the season as well.
Oh,
saved a fortune.
Saved an absolute fortune.
Yeah, there is that.
Spent the one thing.
I mean, Motorsport UK actually released a question and answer to do with COVID-19 a few weeks ago now. There is one point I don't want to seem facetious. I really don't. We made a point in episode one. Me? No? Yeah. I made a point about the license fee hike in episode one. Now, effectively, you're then paying that for 3 to 6 months racing.
Oh, Rob, what are you starting?
Oh, no.
No. I'm making a valid point.
Stir the pot.
I stick to it. I did have a chat with a good friend of ours and a good friend of the show, Mr. Andy Johnson, and he did come up with a good solution that Motorsport UK could come across. And it should be that they communicate to their members and go, right, if you don't want to race at all this year due to the circumstances, we don't refund your license fee. We just give you the 2021 license as it was. Bang. If you do want to race this year, you basically agree that you accept that you've paid that and you're still going to have to pay for next year's one full price. Fair comment?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think the other thing we've got to understand is Motorsport UK would have been hit hard by this too.
Yeah, so I agree.
I get it.
Currently, yeah. I've paid for what's club level £150 or £100 for my license. I've paid £100 for nothing, but if that £100 is keeping Motorsport UK afloat,
that's exactly right.
That's only my view.
Put it this way: if Motorsport UK came to us all now and said, you know, club racing is in real danger of going under across the country, but if everybody put £100 in a pot, who has a club license, we'll save it. Would you do it?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I would, but it's, you know, the one thing that's just in my head, it would be nice to be given the option.
Because for a lot of people,
they can't just go, thank you.
Yeah.
by the way, no racing, but I'm keeping you running. I think yeah, no, like, I again, if it was communicated as to what it was helping with and what it was going towards,
yeah, you know, that's the thing.
That's the thing. It's purely my view on that. I get other people will have different views.
Yeah, and you know, to give a positive again, I mentioned it earlier. They've set aside £1 million, which isn't chump change unless you're Stefan. they've put £1 million aside to help other clubs. Well, it's Stefan or Matt. They're normally the ones that pay the bills for the KA, isn't it, Nick? So, you know.
Definitely Matt.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to think of how many panels that he bought last year, but I've lost count. Dawn Boyd's message us, gents, our ambassador.
Oh, hi, Dawn.
How are we doing, Dawn? I hope you're well. The B42's team are still running our Marshall support car prize draws, if we race or not, which is fantastic. They've got some fantastic prizes in there, courtesy of Draper Tools. I deal with them with my work. We do deal with a lot of their warehousing. What you need to do is you need to buy the Marshall Buster stickers, which I believe are the cartoon Marshall with his chest out. So what you need to do is go to www.dawnontrack.co.uk. If you are a Marshall, then you're in the prize draws. Okay, excellent. All of them. And thank you very much for the support, Dawn. Thank you very much. So,
thanks, Dawn.
Martin Cully agrees with you guys. If license fees are supporting racing, I think it's fine. It's about support. Yeah, I do agree with that side of it. I just think the communication may be a little bit more, or give the option, because it's one of those. Without club racing, you don't have license holders. Without license holders, you don't have club racing. It's
if every club racer decided to take a refund or put their license to next year, it would sink it pretty quick, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's about the bigger picture, isn't it? We've all got to, I don't know, take a kick in the nuts for 2020. And
Or okay.
Other genitalia is available. it's unprecedented, isn't it? We just got to, unfortunately, it's just crap timing.
Unprecedented. I'm hearing that word a lot. Okay, chaps. Well, we're going to move on now, and we're going to look at some of the positives from this awful situation.
Yay, positive speak.
Which, you know, we want to, because we're happy-go-lucky smiley guys. We're going to start off with the guys that are responsible for putting this currently across social media, and it's My Supercar. Ian, for a while, for some reason, he put Nick on social media, and it actually went well. And then he put me on social media, and it really went well. with his shiny head.
I've got a lovable face, and it's cuddly.
Now the script does say at this point, I'm going to introduce Callum McDougal, but I did that to start the show. So, Callum,
yeah, but we've got a fancy little video for him, haven't we?
We've got a lovely video, because Callum's been quite busy, haven't you, Callum? So we've got a bit of footage for you, Callum, if we can just play that now.
Who is Callum McDougal?
Hey, guys. I'd like to set a little challenge for people during this difficult time. We're all without our sport, and there are a lot of people who are suffering as a result, who have fragile mental states or already suffer with depression or anxiety, to who having their sports, be it football, motor racing in our case, or golf, it makes all the difference for them being able to keep up and keep themselves motivated. So my little challenge to the people in my field, motor racing drivers or bike racers, anybody who races around a race circuit in the UK, put your suit on, do some menial stuff around the house, the vacuum cleaning, cut your lawn, go to the shop and buy some milk. Put your suit on, get a video or a picture, post it on my Just Giving page or on my Facebook page. I'm hoping to raise £1,000 for Mind, the charity that looks after, the biggest charity in the UK for mental health aid. And let's see if we can make a real difference. We all want to be back out on the race circuit sometime soon. So let's look after our community, raise some awareness and make some good money for people who really need it. Thanks, guys. I hope you join in.
It's awful watching yourself on camera, isn't it? I won't be watching this.
Show you that. I'll tell you what, Callum, you look very, very good in that lovely tailored HRX suit.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and, yeah. And with that, we move on to what you're doing with Mind. So tell us a bit about what you're doing with the Mind charity. Delve into more about the video. So how did you come up with it? What made you think about it?
Well, actually, the first thought came from a passing comment a couple of nights ago, a couple of weeks ago, when I was taking part in the Club Racing UK Project Cars evening on a Tuesday. It came across as a bit of a joke, and actually, the longer time's gone on and the more uncertain things become, I thought it could be something quite fun, something that we could just get some enjoyment out of. I'm sure we'd all like to see stupid videos of Nick cleaning windows in a race suit and helmet, or maybe do the toilet.
I live with my mother-in-law and she's gone mental inside. Everything's getting cleaned. I haven't even got a chance.
Oh dear.
All right. I'll find something to do though. I'll keep
getting. Can we get a video? Can we get a video of Nick getting his backside kicked by his mother-in-law in his race suit?
Trust me, we're not far away from that point.
Anyway, I know a number of people are suffering. I mean, they say one in four adults every year suffer with depression or with mental health issues. My wife's a key example. We've been together for 8 years, and she's regularly on the course of antidepressants, and I'm assured it's not just because of my sense of humor. But you know, it is a difficult time, and a lot of people really rely on sport, whether it's motor. I mean, we're all motor racing fanatics, and I'm going crazy not being able to watch the touring cars, not being able to go out in a KA and throw it around a race circuit. And you know, there's even bigger addictions for football, biggest sport in the world. You know, there's a lot of people who are suffering. Well, it kind of is, isn't it? Anyway, there's a lot of people who are really suffering without it in their lives. And, you know, charities everywhere are taking a hit. And it felt like it's close to home for me. And it'd be nice to do something that we can make a difference for people. So, you know, I just wanted to encourage us all to have some fun, do something silly, get it on the internet. We can all have a laugh at you. You can certainly all have a laugh at me. And let's try and get some money in a pot and make some people's lives a bit better.
Yeah, no.
Fantastic. I can't think of anything better to put towards, actually. So fantastic, Callum.
Great, thanks. The page. Sorry, I know you've shared it already, but the page is through Just Giving. It's Races for Sporting Minds. Anything you can give would be fantastic.
So we'll tie the link on to the end of this as well. So if anyone is going to join in, everyone is going to join in. There'll be a link at the bottom of this when we finished anyway. So.
Great.
Fantastic. Callum, I want to speak now about HRX. So how's things gone on for you guys? I know with it being predominantly Italian, they've had an absolute nightmare as well. Just tell us a bit what HRX are doing.
So, I mean, HRX have been fantastic. Obviously, it has been very difficult for them. The good news is, you know, looking at the positives as this program is, they're a little bit ahead of us. So the factory actually reopened today with a lot of manufacturing in Italy. So that's good. It's in limited quantities at the moment because obviously they still have to observe social distancing in the workplace. But things are now starting to be made. So if you're waiting for one of our tailor-made race suits, then they are starting to be made again now. And hopefully we'll have it with you as soon as possible. But in the interim, they really quickly turned their minds to what they could do to help the situation. And they started a production run of PPE equipment. So they do three different types of face masks at varying levels of certification. We're also now doing the screens that NHS workers wear over their heads. And we're looking at the possibility now of producing gowns and screens and all sorts. So there's a few brochures on the way for those. And at the moment, we've clocked up over 15,000 units produced in Italy for the Italian market. And we're hoping to build that to 50,000 units per month, which will be distributed worldwide. So we're hoping to start selling those in the UK very soon.
Fantastic.
That's
good.
Unbelievable.
That's what the section's all about, isn't it? Is how adaptable everyone has been You know, it's not suddenly like, ah, virus, hide. You know,
yeah.
So many people have done so many cool things. And we're going to run through just some of those things that
we are. Nick, you put a post out, didn't you? And the feedback you got was absolutely mental. It was fantastic.
It was great. And yeah, go on.
I wanted to start actually because I'm an interfering bugger. The one thing I noticed, they didn't message it to me directly. Performance Brake Solutions that do a lot of brake pads. Quite good brake pads. I think they're still involved with the Civic Cup. They're donating 20% of their retail sales to the NHS charities. That's awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah,
at a tough time as a business to be able to do that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a round of applause for that one, guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Over to you, Nick. Come on, give us some goodwill.
Okay, so we put that post out. Obviously, it was because, obviously, yes, there's big companies as yourself, Callum, HRX. I think McLaren, you know, you can rattle off some big names of people that are doing all these fantastic things, but there's companies that people don't even know about that are involved with Club Motorsport. So, yeah, we put the post out asking what everybody's been doing. We left it quite broad. I've got a list here of some of the things that people are doing. So we had Callum Rao get in contact with us. He works at CWM Engineering in Crosshands, South Wales. He normally manufacturing parts for Mark II Escorts, Subarus, Nissan GTRs. And they've been asked to make PETs for ventilators, which Rob informs me is an actual part. They're not making PETs. and this enables oxygen to be connected to the ventilators. So they're now producing 1,000 of them per week for the NHS and now making 500 drip stands as well. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, Stefan.
Have I got to read them out as well? Have I? No.
Yes. Yeah, come on. Join
everybody's included.
So Lawrence Cooper from the Frontline Feeders Initiative. Have a Facebook page set up to raise awareness. He's also racing the endurance karting with the MOD. And he's going to race in the Golden Era Race Series.
Fantastic. Yes. This one I nicked off the MSA main page, DJ Race Cars. They've made over 35,000 race face shields. As a hill climb racing team, I believe they're involved in the British Hill Climb Championship. They made 35,000 face shields. That is amazing.
Awesome.
Great. And this is it. This is just some of the things that companies and, you know, engineering companies and staff members are all doing. We've got Joss Goodyear. They've made 10,000 respirators as well. Will Hall as well as making sinks for hospitals, so it's things like that. You know, we do a massive shout out to obviously all the frontline workers and the NHS, but it's also all these little things that these guys need. So
exactly, there is a shortage of PPE as well, isn't there? So every little helps at the moment.
Of course it is.
Our friends at Hawk Motorsports, The great bunch of guys down there, they help us with the ambassador scheme. They've got some great deals on at the moment. So if you guys are in need of any equipment, head down to Hawk Motorsport and we'll see what they can sort out for you. They've got good friends of theirs making face masks for the NHS. If you go to Hawk Motorsport Facebook page, apparently there is a GoFundMe page. They are requiring help to get materials to get it done.
Yep.
Mike Selborne is maintaining overhead power lines during the pandemic. So he's a key worker. So, you know, a lot of people that you wouldn't think you would need at a time like this, you need more than ever.
Yeah, that's it. All us guys stuck at home enjoying the internet and TV and stuff, you just take it for granted, don't you? Just turn it on. It works. But someone's looking after all of that. The gas that comes into our house. It's all stuff that still needs to be maintained. So
exactly. Ian Fowler, the VW doctor, he's appeared when he's not swiping right. he's part of the VW doctor and he's keeping key workers on the road.
Yeah. Same goes VRD Motorsport at the Retro Barn, Mr. Vardy and George Clark. Hi, team.
Fantastic.
Goodwood. Hi, team. We'll see you at Goodwood soon. But yeah, again, they're keeping their local workers on the road by doing work at the Retro Barn. Check it out. We'll be putting links up for all of these companies at the end anyway.
Okay, Stefan, do you want to read the next one out?
Ollie O'Neill. One of the charities supporting young people with mental health was due to launch in March, but it's in increase since pandemic has begun. Good work.
Yes.
Yes, it's unfortunate, as Callum touched on earlier with the fundraising. Unfortunately, it's times like this, people's mental health will suffer. So it's charities like that as well that are going to, as well as mine, that are going to help people get through this crisis and hopefully get through the other side.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Nick, what you got?
I want the next one because this one's brilliant. So Matthew Minette, who is an F1000 racer, he got in contact with us and he posted a picture up. So we'll find the picture. But he is, so I think it's his mum is running a convenience store and he's now delivering. So you're having a racing driver delivering stuff from their convenience store. So he lives in a village. And their neighbouring villages, so people that can't get out of their houses, like some of the vulnerable people that are high risk. And yeah, I don't know if he's dressing up, but that, maybe that's something he can do for you, Callum. He can dress up in his full race gear. So Matthew, if you're listening, dress up in your full race gear. He did post a picture up holding a tray of groceries in his race gear. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, fantastic idea.
Just something like just delivering groceries to people that can't get out. I think it's fantastic.
There is a lot of racing drivers that have had to take up positions like that. I know a lot of the top guys. Jade Edwards is one of them on her social media. Yeah. She's out doing delivery work. There's a couple of Porsche drivers as well doing it because at the end of the day, they want to help out, but they also have to pay the bills. So it's two in one, which is great.
Yeah.
I do want to shift to a comment that I've seen from Andrew Butcher. This is Dawn Boyd's other half.
Yeah.
I fear he may not be alive after today. She's asked Dawn to put her suit on and go and make him a cup of tea.
Brave man.
I know if I did that, I love my other half to bits, but if I was as demanding as that, I would have the cup thrown at me.
You say that, and we're going on to the section of sim racing in a minute, but we had one of our guys last night. I don't know who it was. He was out gaming in his shed in the back garden, and he texted his wife on WhatsApp saying, bring me beer. We didn't hear from him for the rest of the evening, so... So we don't know. Did he get the beer, or has he been shot? We don't know. So.
Yes. Incidentally, his missing notice is up on the Club Racing UK page. If you do see him, get in touch.
I'll find out exactly who it was. But
okay. So we carry on with Driving Force Performances. They're running three interactive classes a day via Zoom. Yes, fantastic! So it's keeping people going.
Yeah, that's fitness classes as well. So just. You know,
something I certainly need.
Don't know what you mean, Rob.
Stephen Empson of, definitely, yes. Except on the statue of two men. Stephen Empson of Numpty Motorsport. He's keeping the gas flowing with SGN. Same as
good man.
Same as earlier. He's a key worker. He's kept keeping us heated and keeping the cookers going. And I spoke to our mutual friend Andy Johnson of SVG Motorsport. SVG actually stands for Sharpthorne Village Garage, which is his business. He's had it for, I think, 40 plus years. I think it's an old family business. I could be wrong on that. But attached to it, I've been to see him a couple of times, and attached to it is his Cost Cutter convenience store. He's had to furlough a couple of workers, which is understandable, but he's still doing emergency work in his garage for key workers, which is fantastic. And at the same time, he's keeping the convenience store well stocked up for the villagers and everything. So that's really good. So, what have you got, Stefan?
Daniel on Instagram delivering dominoes. Yes!
That'll keep spirits up.
But not to your house, Stefan, because you live in the middle of nowhere.
Yes. But
they find me eventually.
This is why. So when we did put that post up, and I had to put this one in because he was like, "Well, I don't feel I'm doing that much." I'm like. People still need to eat, man. And so, yeah, the fact he's delivering Domino's to people. Dominoes.
Yeah, trust me, I've had a lot of Domino's. Shout out as well to Uncle Luke's sign and sticker shop, Luke Allen. Hopefully you're watching today, mate. He's making some very pretty warning labels and safety signs as well for various customers. Obviously, I think the supplier will be there as well. Whether they're being stuck to the floor, to your face, or to the wall. There'll be some labels needed somewhere.
I went into Asda's yesterday and there's a racetrack in there now. You've got to follow it. Follow the green arrows. Not allowed to divert, but someone's had to make those stickers. So, yeah, Luke doing a great job with those.
Is it a case you go into the freezer section and you just find yourself, oh, I didn't click the apex there. I've lost time. Just as you go past the frozen chicken.
Don't we all do that anyway? If we're not drifting round corners, getting the handles close to the bread. Are you even shopping?
Exactly. And finally, a friend of mine on Facebook, he's raced in the O3s. He's predominantly raced in the CSCC tin tops, a chap called Gary Barlow. Not the one from Take That. Running with DHD Motorsport in his Honda Integra DC5. It's a well-sorted out car. I think his day job, he runs the ambulance workshops in London. And again, you know, working with the NHS and sorting out the equipment like that, fantastic. Key worker, still keeping them going.
Absolutely. So I think a massive round of applause for those guys.
Definitely.
Plus everybody else. I mean, these are just the guys that replied to our post, but obviously there's thousands of people out there, everyone in club motorsport, national motorsport, international motorsport. Thank you to everybody who's doing their bit, regardless if it's, you know, making thousands and thousands of respirators or delivering dominoes. You're all helping out, guys, so keep at it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
keep going and keep listening to the podcast. We're still going to be doing this every 2 weeks.
This is one thing I don't get. Why isn't everybody using the keep calm and carry on signs? If ever we needed that as a slogan, I've not seen any of them. But yeah, keep calm and carry on doing what you're doing, guys. Thank you.
Fantastic. And with that, gents, as soon as the lockdown came in, I think Fanatec, Logitech, all of the sim building companies, their stock went through the roof.
Yeah.
Because a few people, and myself being one, I'm sat on my sim rig as we speak. The laptop sat where the steering wheel normally goes. A lot of people went out and spent money on sim rigs and steering wheels for some strange reason.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's the rise of the sim racing, isn't it?
I'm certainly part of that club.
Project Cars 2 seems to be the choice for many, except Stefan, because he's got a problem with it. I can see why you have a problem with it now, Steph.
To be fair,
understand my issues at last.
Well, it's one thing we know, you get to go racing
at all the British tracks and all that, blah, 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 blah. But it's shocking as a go.
Can I just put my hand up? Every game is shocking. Like everyone rates iRacing. That looks terrible. A set of Corsa looks pretty, but they've all got their problems. Project Cars maybe more than others, but like reverse grids. Who the hell doesn't have reverse grids on their game? Because the way we did it last night did not work.
Who the hell has a lobby that's glitchy as hell? But the Club Racing UK Interclub Championship has been born. There's a company in here, HRX. They're the title sponsor. I've not known much about those. They're a fashion company, aren't they?
They just seem to keep cropping up. I see them all over the place.
That's every day. UK.
That means you're doing your job right, Callum. That's what it is, mate.
Absolutely.
HRX have very kindly supplied the main prize for the winners, which is a pair of rather sexy race gloves.
We need to do the design work on those. We haven't actually produced any renders yet, as there hasn't been anybody in the factory to do them for me. But we'll come up with some snazzy design. Obviously, gents, if there's anything you particularly want on them, then obviously let me know. If you've got a logo for the series, then we can get that thrown on. We'll come up with something.
Picture of this. My face.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Nobody will wear them. They'll just go in the
bird.
Steph, you can be on the left palm. I'll be on the right palm.
Oh, God.
Okay. Maybe we won't do that.
That had so many connotations there. We were keeping this clean.
We are. It's totally. No, but yeah, in all seriousness.
Rob's struggling.
Oh, gone. My God. What are He's you gone. Two like?
He's gone.
Oh,
no, so, but yeah, for anyone who's obviously, so we're talking about the rise of sim racing right now. Interclub was born from the fact that we've got, 1,600 members now. We support every race series in the UK. So I figured one day, wouldn't it be a laugh to get across the three lobbies, PC, Xbox and PlayStation. Get people, so we've decided to have one racer from each championship. So they kind of unofficially, you know, promoting their championship. And the response has been amazing. We've got all sorts of clubs, 750 Motor Club, Low Cost, 182 Championship, Type R Championship. We've got MSV, Hyundai Cup, loads of racers from all of the, you know, what they should be racing. They would normally be racing during the day, during the year, have now come to the Interclub. So, and I think, across all three lobbies, we're having some fantastic racing. Unless you're me, I cannot drive for squat.
Mine's reasonable. Unfortunately, the Xbox lobby appears to be hitting some teething troubles at the moment, which is quite frustrating, but we're looking to fix them. Uncle Luke's have very kindly sponsored the trophies, so the winners of each championship as well get a lovely, shiny trophy, courtesy of Uncle Luke's signage sticker shop, which is fantastic. We've also got the Tuesday nights where we just have a random lobby. Myself and Nick normally get together and go, right, what are we going to do this week?
Yeah. Also, Toby Owen for the PC as well. Give him a shout out.
Toby Owen for the PC as well. Yeah, I'll give him a shout out. Apologies there, Toby. We are thinking
about
Mark
Holmes has been doing our Interclub for the PC as well. So we'll give those guys a shout because having to listen to me say, we're doing this week. We're doing that this week. That didn't work this week.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It is difficult trying to walk because I'm still working as well. And it can be quite awkward when you're getting messages. Can you just have a look at this footage? Can you just sort this out? Okay.
That's it. Last week, trying to be judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah. We'll come on to that in a bit. So we've got the Tuesday nights of fun sim racing. I started off in the Sam Pierce Developments Clio Cup COVID-19 Championship. Try saying that when you're drunk.
Which you are.
I want to give a big shout out to Sam Pierce because I've actually made quite a few good, you know, I've met some good people on there. The likes of Sam Pierce, Paul Harvey, Tom Starkey, All Club Races, Graham Crowhurst, Races BMW Car Club. You've got Ed Whitehouse as well that was looking to race this year, sadly couldn't. All just the same, mutual petrol heads. And they basically started a Clio championship.
Yep.
You've got Carl Graves and Paul Harvey on commentary. And the problem is, while you're racing, you have to mute the commentary. Because I made a mistake and fell off the circuit because I was laughing so hard at them generally taking the mick out of everyone.
That's it. We've gone for the professional serious approach with Interclub. And yeah, some of their commentary is fantastic.
It is awesome. And Sam Pierce has put it all together. He's still working as well, bless him. And it's really good fun, really well thought of and put together. Thank you to you guys. And hopefully we'll get together. And I'll mention Matt Parr as well from the Castle Coombe series. I'll probably miss some people out if I have. I do apologise. But they're a good bunch of guys that have just taken what they love on the racetrack and thought, we'll have a laugh on a sim.
But the thing is, this is it. We're fortunate enough, aren't we, that there is racing games out there. And I'm going to sound like a right old man now with the whole modern technology and the fact that we can just dial up and chat to each other and have a good old race online. Yes, it's not the same. And anyone who says, oh, I'm a racing driver, so I can race on a computer as well. Horseshit. It's two completely different things, but it's fun. It's good to go. I mean, me and Callum, we raced last Tuesday, didn't we? We had a good laugh.
Yeah, and great fun.
And it's also the fact that we can get different guys that wouldn't normally race against each other in the same lobby together. So it's fun.
Yeah. It's and we go to Chris Pratt's point I mentioned earlier in the program. Okay.
Yes.
He made a point. Is it possible that sim racers will actually turn to club motorsport as a result of this? Maybe meeting a couple of people online.
Possibly. You can only hope.
Yeah, you can only hope. I mean, there's a PC commentator that was looking to become a real commentator, so he's keeping himself sharp.
Yeah, we got Chris Buxton on the PC commentary. Doing for Interclub, doing a fantastic job of the commentary and the live stream and stuff. And now he's purely been a commentator for sim racing, but he wants to branch into real life circuit commentary. So I've said, come on board. We can certainly put you in the room with fellow club racers and even people that are commentators at circuits. And so we're hoping we can turn him from sim commentator to a real racer commentator. So hopefully we'll be helping him out with that one. But again, what's to say it wouldn't happen with, you know, sim racers that want to go circuit racing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can have sim racers that spend $3,000 or $4,000 on a rig, and when they realise that they can maybe buy something along the lines of I don't know, an old Mark III Fiesta Cup car or something for $3,000 or $4,000, and go and race it in tin tops or track day trophy.
I think that's a really good point. I think there's a real common misconception that motor racing is always unbelievably expensive, and I think, you know, the four of us have all experienced motor racing at its cheapest possible, unbelievably cheap level, particularly with the Enduroca series that most of us are part of here.
Yeah.
You know, cars available from £200 or less if you're savvy on eBay. You can build a whole car for less than £3,000. And because you're splitting a race so many ways between all of your teammates, you're really only looking at a few hundred pounds a race weekend, unless you're Nick and you keep hitting things and have to keep...
Oh, come on! We nearly managed 20 minutes without bashing me then.
Fantastic,
no, so you Callum. Bashes other people.
Then all his teammates have to take the hit with him.
You can't see this on the actual podcast, but up yours.
Less of that.
Yeah, I'm actually going out to dinner with the clerk of the course. I've got to know him so much. It's
you lot.
Oh, we love you, really, guys. The only downside to the sim racing, my God, there's some prima donnas on there. If you met them in real life racing paddock, they get a slap.
It'd be like Clemens and Sopa every day.
Every 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
you do a sim lobby, and about 5 minutes afterwards, my phone is going absolutely mad.
If we are, let's have a proper discussion about sim versus real. And now, for me...
Well, it's come up today, hasn't it, in the professional stakes of what's happened with Norris and Pagano with the IndyCar race. I don't know if you know. Yeah.
I get it. A lot of people put a lot of time and effort in, and a lot of, you know, they practice. But it's a game. If you've been someone into a wall, you can reset your computer or you can put your controller down and go to bed. Okay. And that, I think that's where the common, you know, that's where sim racing and real racing falls over. You can, because you can get away with stuff on a sim rig.
If you
went to a club weekend and race one, turn one on any lobby, you've all piled in at Paddock Hill Bend and you're all upside down in the gravel.
I think the clerk of the course would have a stroke.
Yeah. that's my only thing with it is I get people take it seriously, but it is a game.
Yeah, but alternatively, it is really annoying when you do get taken out. So I can see it from that point of view as well.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you have been prepping and you've been getting yourself ready to go racing and you're in a lobby with relatively savvy racers. And then, I mean, every time I start a lobby, I'm always like, right, guys, let's get through the first couple of corners and then we'll start racing properly. And just bang, straight away, I'm upside down.
That's a question, doesn't it? Why is it always you, Nick?
I set myself up there, didn't I? That's no good.
I was going to say that was just the Alton Park KA round.
No, I'm not going into that one. No,
I did have the fish hook on. I was going to say, Stephen, reel him in.
You're not going to get a bite from me. But I mean, it's passing the time, isn't it? It's keeping us entertained.
It is. It's fantastic. I know Sam Pearce is going to be doing some more championships after the Clio Cup, so I'm looking to get involved in that. We're doing some good nights on the Tuesday night.
Yeah,
we're doing an endurance night, get a bit of endurance racing in soon, and obviously the continuation and conclusion of the Club Racing UK Inter Club Championship, sponsored by HRX and Uncle Luke Signer's Sticker Shop.
Absolutely.
And with that, gents, we finished episode two.
And we have. Have we got done? Is there any further questions we need to?
We do have one up here. Callum's probably going to waffle for a bit, but we all like to hear Callum waffle for a little bit. Can we hear a little bit more about what HRX do, please?
Sure. So HRX are a bespoke racewear manufacturer. So they were created in 2013 by a man called Agostino Albergino in Turin. He's going to thank you for calling him that. It's just Ago for short.
What a name.
He's a legend. He's a bit crazy sometimes, but, you know, his proper Italian creativeness and spirit with everything that he does. So, so basically we produce bespoke high-end motorsport racewear. And that's where the company started. So now we're looking at half of the European Le Mans Series grid are using all of our stuff, probably a third of the World Endurance Championship now. So we've really built a name for ourselves as the preferred racewear supplier for particularly endurance professional races. And over the course of the last year, we've started to expand down the pyramid, if you like. So we're spreading out across more national series and into club motorsport. And I'm really pleased to say that for the first time, I feel that we've come up with a solution where racers like ourselves, who don't have very much money and just want to go motor racing in a world where personalization is becoming more and more important, you can make yourself a custom race suit. It's not too expensive. You can design it on our website. You can upload your logos to it, upload your measurements, and it will just turn up at your door. It's really not that expensive now. So it's
good.
You know, a few years ago, it would have been many thousands of pounds, and now you're down to
absolutely.
Some hundreds. So no, that's what we do. So we're HRX Bespoke Motorsport. That's hrxracewear.co.uk. Or just hit me up on Facebook or email or contact Club Racing UK, who are themselves agents.
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. And I'll be coming to you soon for a suit as well, Callum.
Fantastic.
But you're a club racer as well, aren't you, Callum? Because we've got some footage of you in a rather sexy Caterham. So can
you don't need to play that.
You're not getting away with this.
Yeah. 5 second board has been held them off. The red lights come on. This is a 45-minute race with that manager pit window in the middle. A great start from pole position. A fantastic start from Callum McDougall at the wheel of the Caterham. And as expected, the rear-wheel drive cars get off the line. Well, and now Darren Goes is starting to propel the Seat Leon alongside Callum McDougall on the run-up towards Richie's corner. Is he able to squeeze his way through? No, not quite. So it is the fast-starting Porsche of Simon Clark that got off the line superbly well when the lights went out. He has opened up an advantage already between himself and the car that sits there in second position, which is still the Caterham of Callum McDougall.
Love it. I love it. I've got to watch.
There he is in a competitor's suit.
Yeah, that was a few years ago.
I've got to ask, were all your starts that blistering?
No, not all of them. the Caterham has such a significant advantage in those kind of races at starts, but for sure, if you just light the rear tyres up, it will just sit there and go nowhere, which happened to me at Silverstone later that same year.
Oh dear.
Just got swamped by everyone.
Oh, I love it.
Fantastic. So how long were you racing Caterhams for then, Callum?
I did 2 years of Caterham racing in the MSVT Track Day Championship before it became the Super Cup. So we did 1 year in Class A, 1 year in Class S. And I did that with a friend, Ben Simons. And I'm pleased to say that we've managed to win that series back-to-back in our little Caterham. And year before that, I did some MR2 racing in the same Track Day Championship and then moved into Ford KAs with these lunatics.
Yeah,
I seem to remember standing on the pit wall watching you absolutely blitz the opposition at Full Power Live last year. That was impressive to watch.
That was a funny day. I never expected to get away with that, but hey,
I think
great.
Just I think record, Nick's though, got a point.
He didn't beat us a couple months later, though, did he?
No, I didn't. No.
Nicky. Nick, are you talking about when Club Racing UK managed to get third at the Indy KA 500 and stood on the podium with Nick Tandy and co?
Oh, yes.
You're certainly getting your mileage out of that, aren't you?
I should just point out, though, we were watching the timing screen, like, eyes on stalked, because that man was coming for us.
He was. I think he was...
he was right behind us, and poor Matt Hibbard was looking at us on the pit wall, like, what's going on? And we were just like... keep going. You can't stop because we'll lose the podium. So
yeah, it's okay, guys. You know, the front.
That's a point.
The front bump. Yeah, the front bumper's hanging off. The tire's delaminating, but smiling.
We were bashing Matt in the first episode, but in actual fact, it's actually Callum's fault that Matt had to endure the state that the KA was in because we couldn't afford to bring him in. So it was Callum's fault.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Okay.
I've got to get one in.
So to roll on from episode one, we now shift the blame from Matt Hibbard to Callum McDougall. And there we go, gents. We'll pick on someone at the next episode.
How's it going? And on that bombshell.
we've got another couple of quick comments before we head off. Simon Welsh said a chap called Chris Hack was a sim racer that went racing in the Nankang Tires BMW Compact Cup and did well. So it has happened.
Oh, possible.
And hope it's possible. And I bet you there'll be a lot, you know, in comparison is to go in with as a complete novice, is to doing a bit of sim racing. If it's realistic enough, maybe helps you along the way.
And I get it's the higher end of the thing as well. But somewhere I heard that Pierre Gasly started mainly with his sim racing as opposed to the normal karting and stuff. So I don't know how true that is. I think it was Pierre Gasly.
Not sure about that.
Now in F1.
I mean, but there's definitely been a lot of sim racers who have made the jump. I mean, Gran Turismo, Prologue for a number of years of the program.
Jan Mardenborough, wasn't it?
Jan Mardenborough, yeah.
Yeah, he went off and did the Nissan GT Academy, didn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
He did that. Right. He raced at Le Mans with the LMP1 program, which sadly wasn't very good. But he went and did Japanese Formula 3, and he's won races. And
So it is
possible. Andrew Butcher is still alive. He's okay. He said, brilliant job, guys. Catch you later. He's going to go and have his tea. There's no confirmation there whether Dawn Boyd was wearing her HRX suits. And we'll find out if he comments next week, he survived. That's all we could say.
The fact he's outside eating dog food. that's his tea for tonight, outside eating a bowl of dog food.
he's in the doghouse, boys and girls. Yes. But on that bombshell, that was episode two. Fantastic.
It was, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for
Callum
me.
And Google for joining
thank
us.
You, thank you, Callum.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Good luck out there, boys and girls. I hope you all stay safe. We will be back in 2 weeks with another fantastic show. I believe next week we're doing something on the underdog, the groups that aren't on the main bill, but they produce fantastic racing, some good championships in there. So we've got that to look forward to. And
absolutely.
I've been Robert Lewis. That man's there been Stefan Marsh. That man's been Nicholas Holmes. And that man's been Callum McDougall. Good night. God bless.
Thank you. Good night.